Thank you, Georgia. Our gospel lesson is from Matthew, a little longer. It'll be familiar from chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired with them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with a love for you. Amen. Well, there are such interesting layers of history and folklore and spirituality and theology reflected in this passage that we could really have fun with this morning. There's no shortage of paths that we could wander off on, but I'm going to have to exercise some restraint because I know of the limitations of time that we have. But suffice it to say that I think there are aspects of this story that should be uniquely appealing to the good people of Shepherdstown Presbyterian. And additionally, kind of a new insight came to me this week where I thought this might be uniquely relevant to this day when we ordain new elders. So with all due respects to our children's passion last week, a careful read of this passage will make it clear that our tradition has kind of embellished things a bit. So we'll start with a quiz. Who knows who Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar were? Oh, the three wise men. And how do you know that? Well, that's the interesting part, because there's no mention of these three in the Bible at all. Their names were first found in a mosaic in Ravenna, Italy, about the year 560. And about 150 years after that, these names came up again in a treatise that was written by the Venerable Bede, an English monk. So then let's back up a bit. How do we know that there were three wise guys? There's no mention of three wise men in the Bible. This idea was likely developed by tradition simply because the Bible does talk about three gifts that the Magi brought. The point here is that I'm going to ask you to really think about the significance of this biblical account this morning. And it really is significant. But to do so, we need to get beyond some of the various sentimental manger scene images that you might have grown up with. I mean, heck, there's no mention that the wise men were ever even at the manger. Our text today refers to them entering a house, not a stable, and seeing Jesus as a child, not an infant. While Christian tradition holds that the Magi were kings, a more precise description might be that the Magi belonged to a priestly caste of Zoroastrianism, which paid particular attention to the stars. And this priestly caste gained an international reputation for astrology, which was highly regarded as a science at that time. So then, these wise ones from the East were scientists and practiced other religions, and God used their faith and knowledge to bring them to the Christ. Are you listening? More ironic, God used scientists who practiced other religions to let King Herod and the chief priests and the scribes in on the news that the Messiah had been born. I hope you're beginning to see how wild this actually is. Are you having an epiphany? On the church calendar, today is called Epiphany. And it's always celebrated on January 6th, which just happens to fall on a Sunday this year. If a dictionary definition of the word epiphany means a sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something, the theological understanding of the word refers to the manifestation or revelation that Christ is no longer limited to the Jewish tradition. And the reason this religious festival is seen as significant is because the visit of the Magi demonstrates that God's plan is for the Gentiles too, which is to say, the whole world. What an epiphany. I mean, I could almost imagine this as being a feast day for Shepherdstown Presbyterian. We say that our faith and practice are rooted in the way of Jesus, but we intentionally add to that that our orientation is enriched by wisdom from all sources. And I find it wonderfully ironic that so many of the Christian churches that are very squeamish about being in dialogue with other religious traditions have no trouble dressing their children up as Magi every year. When I've preached on this passage before, I've sometimes played with this primal image of journey as a metaphor for our own life of faith. In particular, I've been intrigued by the final verse in our reading today. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. This image of going home by another way provides, I think, such a powerful spiritual image as well. None of us, once we have some sense of being awakened spiritually, can go back on the same way in which we came. As a matter of fact, Pope Gregory the Great once said, "Having come to know Jesus, we are forbidden to return the way that we came." There are many reasons why we can't go back this same way, not the least of which is the very fact that our understanding of spiritual home has changed. That space where we feel profoundly welcome, at rest, has changed. So having heard many stories in this congregation of your own spiritual pilgrimages, I know that many of you here could never find your spiritual home by returning the way that you came. I think you can relate to this. Some of this is kind of communicated in a lighthearted, yet surprisingly profound way in a song that James Taylor wrote called Home by Another Way. And for today's bonus material, I've created a link on the church Facebook page that will be available after the service is over. So I believe that James Taylor is onto something when he sings a lot about Herod. He sings, "Go home another way. Stay clear of royal welcomes. Avoid a big to-do. A king who would slaughter the innocents will not cut a deal for you." So who or what is Herod in your life? Herod is an image that looks powerful and impressive on the outside, but demands your loyalty out of insecurity and neediness. Herod will woo you and court you, but won't think twice about killing you in the end. So very much of what we seem to value will suck the life right out of us in the end. So go home another way. Go home on the path that the beloved leads you. So let me tell you why I thought this passage might relate to the ordaining of elders today. I mean, last time I preached on this passage, I reflected on going home another way from the vantage point of a personal spiritual pilgrimage. But today I'm inspired to think of it from the vantage point of a corporate spiritual pilgrimage. Now, I might be extrapolating or getting a little carried away here, but in all likelihood, there were several magi who had to agree together on a path. We have a couple of exceptionally gifted, bright individuals that we are ordaining today. And we love the gifts that you bring to the table. Did I say it right? Okay, good. But let me be clear, however impressive your resume or management experience is, this pales in comparison to the gifts that we really need. Like the Magi, we need people committed to corporate spiritual discernment. The Magi didn't have a spirited debate and then set off, each going in his or her own direction. The Magi came together and they left together. And I pray that you will aid us as we aspire to travel together as we follow the light. I've always found it to be a bit problematic when there's a form of leadership that gets so far ahead of the pack that they turn around and realize that no one is following. So if we indeed are going to make it through the desert, we need to value traveling together. We need the gifts of the Magi to be good listeners to one another, knowing that one person alone does not have all the answers. And rather than looking down on lesser Magi, we need to deeply believe that each person carries gifts that are needed by the whole. No doubt I could go on, but I think you get the idea. So on this Epiphany Sunday, let's not settle for tradition, but celebrate the deeper meaning, the story of Spirit breaking into the world and told in such a way that recognizes how different paths lead to the same light. Let's be flexible enough to go home another way. Let's learn from the Magi the call to corporate spiritual discernment. We're all in this together. Would you pray with me? Lord, bless us to a deeper understanding of your word, which is especially tricky when we're dealing with so much tradition. Awaken in us a desire to free you, see you afresh, and to travel together on this path. We pray in the name of the Christ. Amen. Let's stand now for hymn number 152 as we prepare for ordaining new elders and deacons. verses 1, 3, and 4.